Northwest Prime, bringing Seattle to the world and the world to Seattle. I'm your host, Lori Ness, a soldier on the front line of the mainstream. You can listen to this and other shows at northwestprime.com, and be sure to stay with Seattle Wave Radio 24/7, 365 for more great music and interviews. We're starting a movement of kindness, and we want you to join us. Let's get this show started. My guest today, Francine Bryson, was National Pie Champion from Pickens, South Carolina, and she achieved celebrity status when she nearly won CBS's The American Baking Competition. Her new cookbook that's coming out now, Blue Ribbon Baking from a Redneck Kitchen, is just what her fans wanted, and it is already doing amazing numbers in pre-sales. It comes out very, very soon. You can find it on Amazon and other different cookbook sites and wherever fine books are sold. So we are going to talk to Francine. We're going to get her on the line and talk about her experience on the American Baking Competition. Jeff Foxworthy, as you may know, was the host of that. Many people, including myself, watched it, and she's gone on and doing book tours and other TV shows, and we're going to talk to her all about that and catch up with her, and I'm going to get her on the line in just a moment. A few days ago, we had Charlie Daniels on. It was a fantastic show. Really enjoyed talking to Charlie Daniels, just an American icon in music and just an all-around great guy. He has a new album out called Off the Grid, Doing It Dylan Style, a 10-song tribute to Bob Dylan. We're going to play Tangled Up in Blue, and then we'll be back in just a moment with Francine Bryson.
Wondering if she had changed it all, and if her hair was still red. Her folks said that our lives together, she was gonna be rough. They never did like mama's homemade dress, papa's bank book wasn't enough. And I was standing on the side of the road, rain falling on my shoes, heading out for the East Coast. Well, you know I paid some dues again through. Tangled up in blue. When we first met, soon to be divorced. I helped her out of the jam, I guess, but I used a little too much force. We drove back cars as far as we could, abandoned it out west. Stood up on the dock that night, but for being that it was best. She turned around to look at me as I was walking away. I heard her say, over my shoulder, we'll meet again someday on the avenue. Tangled up in blue. As a cook for a spell, but I never did like it all that much, and one day the axe just fell. So I drifted on down to New Orleans, where I happened to be employed, working for a while on a fishing boat right outside of Delacroix. But all the while I was all alone, the past was close behind. I've seen a lot of women, but you never escaped my mind, and I just grew tangled up in blue.
Well, we were talking about, let's see, your Blue Ribbon Baking from a Redneck Kitchen. It's something that your fans have been wanting, and that is coming out very soon, and the pre-sale numbers are just doing so great. Are you surprised by how much your fans really embraced you when you came off of the American Baking Competition?
It's actually shocking. I got on that show doing what I love to do and what I've always done. So to be embraced by the fans the way I have, it's surreal. It really is. And I just left the Sam's Club here that has them on the shelf already before Pub Date, and I autographed a few of them and hit them back in the stack, and people are finding them and posting on Facebook. They're shocked that they found the surprise autograph book. So it's really cool. It really is. It's a lot of fun.
Well, did you watch cooking shows and baking shows before you went on the American Baking Competition show?
I grew up watching the PBS shows, the old Julia Childs and the Justin Wilsons and all the PBS, because that was, I learned to cook way before Food Network. And I'm a Food Network and Cooking Channel junkie, serious junkie. I love food shows. So I've always watched them, and I've learned a lot from them.
Well, I was going to ask you, have you picked up some tips along the way by watching food shows?
Oh yeah. So a lot of the little tips that my grandmothers or my mother didn't teach me, I've learned from watching the cooking shows and stuff. They're really, really educational if you get over the fact that it's a TV show and watch for the educational factor. You'll learn a lot from them.
How did you get involved with applying to the American Baking Competition show?
They actually called me. I was at home on a normal Wednesday night, and I was, cooking supper, and my phone rung, and it was a California phone number, and I thought that it was a telemarketer, and I answered the phone and went, "I'm sorry, I already got it, don't need to buy it." And he goes, no, this is not a telemarketer. And they asked me to come to Nashville for a casting, and I went to Nashville, and it's been a whirlwind ever since then. So, and that was almost 2 years ago.
Wow. Well, so you got to really see the inside workings of how TV works, and TV can really be a fickle product. Sometimes the fans can like the person, or sometimes they can not like the person, and in your case, they really latched on and really fell in love with you. Were you afraid at all of how that would go?
Well, not really, I didn't nerve up and tense up because I was actually competitive cooking, which is what I've done since I was 16, so that didn't nerve me out. The TV part aspect really didn't nerve me out because I had Jeff Foxworthy there to hang out with, so it was like I was just around family, and me and most of the contestants all become friends, and it was like you got to go bake with friends all day, so it really wasn't. It wasn't stressful for me as it was some of the other ones, but I just felt like I'd found my niche. So, and it was a blast.
Well, it looked fun, and I was one who was watching from the beginning, and you were absolutely my favorite on there as well. And you mentioned Jeff Foxworthy. Did you get to actually spend time with him, and is he as down to earth as he appears?
We actually did. We spent a lot of downtime with him between sets and between bakes and things like that, and got to talk to him. And we've actually talked after the show. He wrote the foreword for my book. So we've talked since then and emailed back and forth. And it's just, he is just so normal. You wouldn't know that he's this multi-star. He's just an amazing human being. And he's just as nice a person as he seems on TV. He's just real.
Well, people probably think that about you now because you're from Pickens, South Carolina, and now, and you were probably already known in Pickens, South Carolina, but now you're really known in Pickens, South Carolina. Has that changed how the way your neighbors and friends see you?
Not really. It's strange to, go to the grocery store and people stop you and want to take pictures and get autographs, and it's fun. It's cool for me because then I'm like, they're paying attention and they're listening. So this is, or they'll stop me and go, I've got this and what can I put with this and how can I make this? And they'll be standing in the, because I always go to the baking aisle. It's a habit. But they'll look at me and they'll have a box cake mix in their hands and go, "You didn't see that." And I'm like, "Sonia, whatever it takes to make you cook, go right ahead." I'm all for anybody cooking in any fashion they can, as long as they're turning on the stove. But it's different. It takes a little getting used to, but I think I've found my groove. So.
Well, I think so too. What do you think it is about Southern cooking or redneck cooking, however you know people want to put it, that really so many people across state lines embrace?
I think because it's easy to understand. It's not a lot of ingredients. It's not overwhelming. That's the big thing. You open up a recipe and you don't have 30 ingredients and you don't have to go to specialty stores. A lot of it is you just cook with what you've got on hand. And we live a laid-back lifestyle and we make do with what we've got. And it's just easy to – I think it's just easy to understand. I've tried the big French recipes and all that kind of stuff, but it just don't – it don't fit my brain.
Well, I think you're right about that because it is hard. A lot of times when you're looking in recipe books, and you start seeing ingredients that you're unfamiliar with, and where do I even
right.
get that, and where do I have to go to get that, and so you end up not making it most of the time. It's you know,
right.
if you're like
yeah.
me,
it's overwhelming, and even me. I mean, I've been cooking since I was 4 years old, and I can open up a new book and read recipes and going, well, we don't have that down here. And, you know, when you have to go on the internet and start searching for ingredients and things to make one recipe, to me, it's just, I'd just rather go to the grocery store and get milk, egg, and butter and be done with it. So,
and have something good to eat.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's simple. It's easy to understand. And that's the cool thing about this book was the recipes in it are the things I grew up making. And most of it is stuff you already have on the shelf. Everybody has milk and eggs and butter and flour and sugar in their kitchens already, and you should not have to go hunt things to make something good, and you shouldn't have to take out a bank loan to afford to make it. So, and that's the cool thing about it is it's simple recipes, it's easy to understand, it's easy to execute, and cooking shouldn't be hard. It should be fun.
Well, I think a lot of people have become intimidated with cooking, and you just kind of take things back to basics and, again, putting
right.
that fun element into it and kind of taking the pressure off of people.
Right. That's what I've said all along. Even in my competitive baking, it's even the recipes for competitions are simple. It should not be intimidating. I mean, driving through the woods at night without any headlights is intimidating. Baking and cooking should not be.
Well, what was it like when you got the next call then about a book deal with Random House to bring this cookbook forward?
That was the weirdest thing that happened. We the night of the finale, the next morning when I actually turned my phone back on, because I actually had to turn my phone off, but when I turned my phone back on, I had 26 offers from publishing houses. So finding the right publishing house was a little bit of a trek. And when I come across Random House, Clarkson Potter, which is a cookbook division of Random House, they got me, and they understood it, and they let me have my own voice. And every word in the book was wrote by me. You know, they left my sayings in. They left the way I talk in. And a lot of the publishers I talked to, the first thing they wanted to do was change me. And I'm like, no, this ain't going to work. I've been working on this book since I was 6 years old, so it's a lifelong dream for me, and I want people to read it and they can hear me saying it to them. So that was a cool thing, and Clarkson Potter did a great job at that. Even when I go back and read it now, it's like I can hear myself saying it.
Well, you are someone who really always loved cookbooks, just anyway. So now, and I think you had a couple cookbooks before with some wedding cakes, and so it's got to be kind of surreal for someone who is really a cookbook lover like yourself. You probably collect cookbooks, I would imagine, to have your own that sit on the shelf as well.
It's really neat. I've been collecting cookbooks all my life, and I've got over 3,000 in my collection, and I've got them from every food forte there is. But when my book arrived and I seen the final copy of it, I sat there and cried. It's like holding a brand new baby is what it felt like to me. And that's the only thing I can attribute to is it's like holding a new baby. And I take one. I have one in my car at all times. I have one in my purse at all times. So it's just, I'm toting it around like a Bible.
Well, like baby pictures, you know, it's like people
it
whip
is.
Out their pictures of their babies and you can whip out your cookbook.
That's what I do, which because a lot of people have asked me, do you have the book? Can I see the book? Or they'll run up on me like, yeah, it's in my purse. And I look at it and go, oh, can I get this? And I'm like, no, that's my copy. But I actually got my first copy on live on the air on QVC. They handed me the first final color copy, and I'm squalling on national TV again, but it was just a lot of people don't understand that, you know, this is my lifelong dream on paper, and it's just, it's really surreal to see it in print.
I can only imagine. Now, you had a huge fan base that went fanatic over your chocolate peanut butter bacon pie. And how did that come to be? And of course, I'm sure you're still making it.
I've made over 700 in the past year, so I'm trying to veer away from it a little bit. It actually came across, the first one was an accident. I had a dream about a peanut butter pie, and I got up the next morning, made breakfast for the family, and was in the kitchen working on the mousse filling for the dream pie. And my husband went through and grabbed a piece of bacon and stuck it in the mousse and ate it, and he turned around, come back in the kitchen, got another piece of bacon, and he says, taste this. And when I tasted it, I was like, okay, I've got to put this in there. It's got to be bacon and peanut butter. And then I looked at him and I went, what if we put chocolate with this? And he went, well, you make chocolate-covered bacon. And I went, yeah, we can make this work. And it happened by accident, but it's a great pie. So it's all my husband's fault.
Well, I'm sure that you get invited to lots of probably family barbecues and friends' houses for, you know,
right,
supper and different things. Is there one thing that people are always requesting you to bring, or do you always just kind of go off the cuff and bring something on your own?
I would like to be able to go off the cuff and bring something new. Everybody wants, number one, they want my tater salad, and the other thing they want is my dessert. So I'm always the one to make the desserts. And then, like, Thanksgiving and Christmas, I'm the one that makes the dressing. So I have those three things that no matter what event we're invited to, they're going to make sure those three things are included in it. So, but, yeah, I'm the dessert girl in the family.
Now, are you passing this on to your children?
I am. My youngest has already started competing. She has already won two blue ribbons, two second place ribbons, but she's got the competitive bug too, and she's actually going to college right now, so we've slacked off on the baking thing, but she has it. She's wanting to do an undergrad in culinary, so that's a good thing, is I've passed it on to her. She's realized how much fun it actually is.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially because it was something that was passed down to you, and I'm sure that you have really fond memories of cooking with your grandmother or your mother.
Oh, yes. And we went on, you know, before my mother passed away, me and her baked with my daughter when she was really young. So six generations in our family have passed it down. And the recipes keep getting passed down and passed down. But I'm the first one to actually put them together and put them in a book form and things like that. And then a lot of my competitive recipes are in there. And then Nana's recipes and my granny's recipes and my mom's recipes. So it's a lot of recipes in one book.
Well, it's really is a fantastic book. And it's funny you were talking about your husband coming up with the bacon part of the chocolate peanut butter bacon pie. I think that's something that really appeals to men, because when I was talking to my husband about this last night, that's where his eyes were really lighting up. And so he wanted me to ask you if there's any plans to take that more on a mass-produced level where people can actually, you know, get the pie.
Go ahead and buy
in different parts of the country.
We have been approached by I've gotten so many different things going on. We've been approached for some manufacturing ideas. People are actually wanting to market my chocolate gravy and then my salted caramel sauce. And my thing is I'm known for my pies, so getting that pie in grocery store freezers where all people's got to do is take it home and thaw it out is one of my biggest dreams. So we're actually working on that now. So hopefully by Christmas we'll have a chocolate bacon peanut butter pie in every store. Hopefully.
Oh, my goodness. It'd be a Christmas present for everybody.
It would. I can stop making them.
That's right, and the rest of us could still enjoy them, though.
Yeah,
so that would be fantastic.
Yeah, the recipe is really simple. People, I mean, it's really easy to understand, and all over my Facebook, people are posting the ones that they made, and they're like, it's not as pretty as yours, but you're not going to believe how good this is. And I'm like, it doesn't have to be as pretty as mine. As long as you like what it tastes like and you're enjoying it, then it works. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not a decorator. I just put them together. And my thing is you're going to look at it, but you're not going to eat the looks. You're going to eat the flavor. So, you know, it doesn't matter to me. As long as it's edible and you like it, then go with it.
That's right. That is where I think kind of cakes went off of back when they started putting fondant on everything, because fondant doesn't taste good. Buttercream tastes
no.
good.
No. I refuse to touch that stuff. I don't like it. I won't eat it. I don't want a cake with it. I mean, it's good for books, and it's good for pictures, and it's good for looks and weddings, but I ain't eating it, so I don't want it.
Right. I completely agree with you on that point. Completely. It's for picture-taking purposes, in my opinion,
exactly.
And not for eating.
Yeah, there's a lot of people come out of the woodwork, but no fondant, no fondant. There ought to be a movement across the country. No to fondant.
There should be. Well, if you start it, I will participate. I will sign the petition for that, because I'm with you on that.
That might be my next book.
There you go. We have to talk about the Slap Your Mama cookies, because everybody, you talk about those on the show, everybody got a big laugh out of them, and they also enjoyed them very, very much. Do people still ask you about those?
Yes, they do. Everybody. In fact, that recipe is on the Internet, and people are making them all over the country, and they can't get over how the outside is crispy and the inside is chewy and that little hint of chipotle. And every recipe is adaptable. If there's something in it, like if you don't like nuts, leave the nuts out. If you don't like chipotle, leave it out. You know, put black pepper in it instead if you want it. But the little hint of chipotle at the end of the bite is what is just, it just brings it all together. But that cookie, my mama made that cookie forever, and over the years we adapted it and changed it, and I've made it with macadamia nuts, I've made it with, you know, Belgian white chocolate, but the chipotle is that little niche of Franny that was on it that just, it just speaks for itself. It's an amazing cookie.
Is there any talk to do an audio book of your recipes at all?
They've thrown the idea around. We're just, I told them, I said, can we just get the book out there first and let people have it, and then we'll talk. And they've already moved on to book two. So we're working on that now and getting ready for book two. And I'm not, to tell you the truth, I don't know where I'm going next. I don't know what's going to happen next. Everything's going so fast.
I bet. Well, the only reason I mentioned the audiobook is because your personality comes through so well, and you know, when you were talking about, you know, you're really speaking those recipes in that book, it would even be an accompaniment to not only have the book, but maybe have some type of audio version and actually hear you talking about those things. I think would be pretty neat. And then, of course, then we can run down to the store and buy the chocolate peanut butter bacon pie, and we can just have Francine in our house all the time.
Exactly. The only problem with that is some people don't get my accent, and I'm scared if I did something audio, they'd be going, okay, what did she say now? So that's one of the weird things. A lot of people are like, is that accent real? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's real. You can't make this up.
No, you can't. You know, but when you're from the South, though, you don't hear it. And my parents are from Tennessee, and I was raised in Southern California. And when I would bring friends home, they would always say to me, they'd pull me aside, and they'd go, where are your parents from? And I'd go, I have to think. And I'm like, what are they talking about? But they could hear their accent, but I never could.
My parents moved me to Florida when I was 11, and nobody in Florida has this accent. And when I would go to school, they would think something wrong with me because my parents talk like this, and I never lost my accent. So it's just different parts of the country has a different, and the South, even from our town to the next town, has a different dialect. So But, you know, I am what I am, and I sound the way I sound, and it's just me. I'm not trying to be something I'm not, because the more I try to get rid of my accent, the worse I sound. So we're just going to leave it where it's at.
Well, don't do that, because that's what everybody loves, and that's why you've just won the hearts of so many people. And I really appreciate you taking the time to come on today. And the Blue Ribbon Baking from a Redneck Kitchen by Francine Bryson, you've got to order it. You've got to have it in your home. And we need to keep up with Francine, because this is just the start of many, many, many wonderful things that are going to enrich our lives with food, which we absolutely love. So thanks, Francine. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on today.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me, Sweetie.
All right. No problem. And good luck. And I will be keeping an eye out for a pie coming to a store near me.
I'm working on it for you.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that was Francine Bryson, and you can order her book, Blue Ribbon Baking from a Redneck Kitchen. It's available online, and you can get your copy. She already said a lot of them are out right now. I think it officially launches in mass production on the 9th of September, so if you're listening after the 9th of September, it's already out there. So I want to, again, thank Francine for coming on today. And, again, we had Charlie Daniels on just a few days ago, talking to him about his Off the Grid Doing It Dylan style. 10 song tribute to Bob Dylan, and as we go out, we're going to play one of my favorites off of that album, Tambourine Man. So thanks to Francine for coming on, thanks for Charlie for coming on a few days ago, and a big thanks to you for listening. Have a great day.
Be blind to hear to stand, but I'm not sleeping. My weariness amazes me, and I'm branded on my feet, and I have no one to me, and the ancient empty streets too dead for dreaming. Your dancing filled my way.